This paid commercial may not represent the views of Hubbard Broadcasting Incorporated or Federal News Radio. Statements and opinions of this broadcast are solely those of individual contributors or advertisers as indicated. Federal News Radio does not take responsibility for those statements or opinions and accepts no responsibility or liability for any inaccuracy, errors, or omissions reported during this program.
Welcome to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy of Electromech, providing solutions to design, certify, and maintain aircraft wire systems. Every week, John speaks with public and private sector IT experts about some of the IT trends and challenges facing agencies and industry. Now your host, John Gilroy.
Welcome back to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. In the studio this morning, we have Scott Gatos. He's Chief Technologist, Federal Healthcare, U.S. Public Sector for HP Enterprise Services. Quite a title there, Scott, huh?
Yeah, thanks, John, and good morning. I'm really happy to be here.
I'm going to break for a commercial after that title. So, Scott, you touched on all kinds of different issues, and I wanted to bring someone from a bigger company in because I want to talk about cloud from a big company perspective. And oh, by the way, there's this little thing called healthcare IT that may have some application in the cloud. And maybe there's people that are involved in cloud besides the usual suspects.
Sure.
And so we'll move beyond the usual suspects this morning and talk about HP and their cloud services and how they can benefit my listeners. But before we start talking serious here, tell us about your background, Scott, and how you wound up with HP. Please.
So thanks, John. So I've been in IT and IT services for just about coming up on 21 years now, about 18, maybe 19 of those with HP. My background by trade, I'm a software developer. So done a lot of custom software development, software architecture, and what have you. And for the last few years, really been focusing on this chief technologist role where we help both HP and clients really create their technology strategies and execute on all the technology services and solutions that they want. For a while, I ran the startup gauntlet back in the dot-com days. So a couple of different startups there, and then went back and wanted to do work at a big company again. And there was a lot of things, and the platform that a place like HP brings is actually really, really exciting for me. So I quite enjoy it.
hp.com/govcloud for more information. Is that right?
Correct.
And you don't go there for toner. I mean, I think people, oh, HP, oh, it's something about toner, right? Toner tuners. No, this isn't toner tuners. This is talking about HP services. And actually, it's a pretty big part of the company these days, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a huge part of the company. Historically, there were a number of services within HP, both from our technology services division and our consulting services. And back in 2008, when HP acquired EDS, which is where I originally came from as well, then we brought on a whole lot of qualified professionals and lots of capability to really bring enterprise level services to bear on both governments and businesses alike.
Before the interview began this morning, we were chatting about the previous HP guests I've had, and pretty wide range. We had Mike Donovan. We talked about big scale portfolio management, and I had a fellow from Idaho come in town and talk about their new servers. And I decided, well, you know, HP is a whole lot more than just printers. It does a whole lot of different things. Scientific instruments aside, that's not even a division we're going to talk about. Servers, it's kind of interesting. I never thought I'd have HP Enterprise and talk about servers and how servers work together in the cloud. But let's talk about some of the news that's come out of HP in the last few weeks here.
Sure, John. So last month, back in May, HP introduced what's now called HP Helion, which is essentially a composite portfolio of all of our cloud products and cloud services that really enable organizations to either build or manage or consume various workloads in their hybrid IT environments. So Helion really incorporates everything that we already had existing within our cloud portfolio and also starts to integrate some new OpenStack technology-based products and services within the environment. One thing I'd like to point out within that portfolio as it relates specifically to our federal government clients and public sector clients in general, recently, we also introduced the HP Helion Managed Private Cloud for public sector. And so this is a new secure private cloud solution that's really designed for single tenant solutions that meets the demanding requirements of the federal government and helping agencies really accelerate that journey to cloud. So it's developed for workloads that would fit either, say, a FISMA high profile or even a FedRAMP moderate profile or healthcare IT profiles like environments that require compliance with HIPAA, that sort of thing.
Well, I hate to say it, but we got to play a game of Scrabble on the air here, and the Scrabble is going to involve all kinds of funny acronyms, and some listeners know these real well, and some just getting introduced to them, and I thought we'd give someone like you and tossies out so we can paint a picture and say, okay, SaaS, IaaS, PaaS, all kinds of different services out there, and people are going to hear this product and go, what is that? Is that SaaS or PaaS? What is it? So let's just maybe break this down. SaaS, Software as a Service. What does that mean for my listeners?
Yeah, so software as a service, essentially sort of, if you can think of, cloud services that you would consume as sort of a stack with infrastructure at
like
the bottom.
Gmail or something? Is that a software as a service?
So yes, it is. There you're getting a fully finished product ready for you, the end user, to consume, right? It's not just, it's not some servers out in the ether. It's not a platform so much that you might develop on. It's a full end product that you are going to, quote unquote, license, right? This is the product I want. I'm using it. But did I install anything? No. I'm getting a seat out in the cloud to use the product for my business needs. So that's software.
And so IaaS, Infrastructure as a Service, this is a different variation on software or maybe a different complete concept.
Yeah, so it's a little bit, let's call it, think of that stack analogy, a little bit lower in the stack. So who would want infrastructure as a service? So typically, this is going to be IT departments who traditionally would go out and procure on-premise hardware to stand up an infrastructure environment for whatever the needs might be. Maybe there's some new application that an agency wants to deploy, what have you. They need that hardware infrastructure to do it, and the operating system infrastructure and what have you. Instead of doing that now, that's where infrastructure as a service services come in. So you're not getting a fully finished software product, but you're essentially getting in the ether, right, in the cloud, a virtualized machine that is, or multiple, depending on, what your environment is, but virtualized infrastructure that allows you to scale up for as much as you need and scale down for as little as you need without having to procure the physical hardware as you once did.
And these first two are contrasted with the last of the trifecta here, the PaaS, the Platform as a Service.
So Platform as a Service is very interesting, right? Squeezed there in the middle between infrastructure and software. And so there can be debate as to where the line should be drawn. Where does infrastructure end and platform begin? And there's been, different schools of thought on that. But I'll give you one that's pretty well-rounded, which is if you take that infrastructure that we just talked about, and then you start to put some software layers on top of it, some database layer on top of it, perhaps an integrated development environment for building new software applications, testing tools, an environment, a platform, if you will, that would allow you to, again, in that cloud ether, now I have infrastructure and I have a bunch of development and testing software deployed on that infrastructure that allows me to leverage that platform to create the kind of things that I want to create and test the kind of things I want to create. So it's sort of in the middle there, more than infrastructure, but not the fully finished software product for me to consume, a platform for me to develop and test on.
Now, Vivek Kundra is not paying me to say this, but Salesforce was in town 2 weeks ago and they had him speak and I met up back with him and had a little chat. And so Salesforce would be software as a service.
Interesting that you asked that. It's actually both software as a service and Force.com is a platform as a service. So Salesforce.com is a large partner of HP. In fact, I believe at the time is Salesforce.com's largest customer at this point, with our entire Salesforce infrastructure running on Salesforce.com. So in that vein, when you have customer relationship management or sales management, you're using something like Salesforce.com. That is software as a service. But underneath Salesforce.com is Force.com. It is a platform that you can create, and we do. We create with it. We create unique things for ourselves and for clients that want to work with us in Salesforce.
Interesting. I mean, you would not look at Salesforce and think, well, who's the man behind the curtain?
Right.
Well, the man has an HP t-shirt on, and it's probably 3 o'clock in the morning up on a server somewhere trying to get it working or something. I never connected the dots.
Sure.
I think we have a pretty good idea of what we're talking about. So HP has been involved in a lot of different aspects of information technology, and they made a big push recently with this Helion, H-E-L-I-O-N. In fact, the reports say that your company is going to put $1 billion in the next 2 years to develop this. I mean, that's with a B. That's not chump change.
It's not chump change, and that's correct. That is $1 billion with a B. So over the next 2 years, we'll spend that money on cloud-related product and engineering initiatives to drive forward all of the elements that are within this Helion portfolio.
Well, great. I think we've defined what exactly HP has to offer here. Let's take a break and come back and then say, okay, what's it mean for my listeners? What does it mean for Govee out there? Salesforce is all kind of craziness, software as a service. What can your product do to help an agency achieve its goals? We'll hit that when we come back. You're listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. In the studio, Scott Gatos, Chief Technologist, Federal Healthcare, U.S. Public Sector, HP Enterprise Services. Welcome back to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. In the studio, we have Scott Gatos, Chief Technologist, Federal Healthcare, U.S. Public Sector, HP Enterprise Services. We are talking about the cloud and some new developments out of HP in the area of the cloud. And in the first block, we define some terms, software as a service, infrastructure of a service. So I have a pretty good idea of, in general, what kind of cloud topics you're talking about. And we mentioned a new product called H-E-L-I-O-N. If you want to search it and go to Google and type, it's called the Helion Public Cloud. So what acronym is it?
So Helion is, as we were talking before, John, Helion ends up being the overall portfolio of all of the products and services that exist within HP's cloud space. So that does include Helion Public Cloud. It includes the Helion Managed Private Cloud and the Managed Private Cloud for U.S. Public Sector, and as well as some other components like a Managed Virtual Private Cloud for Public Sector that would otherwise be known as a Community Cloud, as well as certain software components like we were talking about earlier that are starting to be based on OpenStack.
And if you read about Meg Whitman, she talks about Lego pieces. Now, I never associate her with Lego pieces, but she gave this time. Well, it's kind of like Lego pieces. It's something I would say. Is that oversimplifying it? Or are these different components like Lego pieces that you stack together depending on what kind of cloud you want to put together?
Well, you can think of it actually as Lego pieces. And we talked a little bit about that with platforms building on infrastructure and software building on platforms. But if we think about that from an OpenStack standpoint, going back to what we talked about before, if you think about OpenStack being in that infrastructure environment, so it ends up creating the software and hardware open infrastructure that allows you to have infrastructure as a service, but then you can add things to it, like what we're doing with the Cloud Foundry components. So the Cloud Foundry components, which are essentially those additional pieces that you can add on top, the additional Lego pieces to connect into that OpenStack environment to give you a fully open development platform as a service, utilizing Cloud Foundry components on top of the OpenStack components. So they are like Lego blocks.
Well, we're going to switch from Lego blocks to dictionaries and talk about some terms here. OpenStack and Cloud Foundry. I'm sure that listeners may know what OpenStack is. They may have heard it in reference to NASA. Why don't you define this for our listeners so we know what OpenStack is and how it fits in with your offering?
Sure. Great, John. So OpenStack, as I said, it's really those foundational software pieces that really enable the hypervisor components of the infrastructure, virtualized infrastructure stack within there. If you think about it this way, so OpenStack, as you pointed out, you know, originated at NASA, and there have been other partners, and HP has picked it up along the way and making huge investments now in OpenStack as well. But if you want to try to, you know, find a corollary there in industry, you had Linux years ago. Different organizations picked up Linux. Probably today's best known is Red Hat out there. So underneath Red Hat Linux is still Linux. But Red Hat has made large investments in that platform, distributes it in a couple of different forms, some free, some paid as well with support and what have you. OpenStack is much like that, whereas OpenStack is to Linux, as HP Helion OpenStack is to something like Red Hat Linux. So, you know, we end up making many improvements that are released back to the OpenStack community as well, and then also provide products and services around the HP OpenStack, the Helion OpenStack distribution that we both release freely, as well as coming later in other options.
Well, I think listeners will get a better idea now that they know what to compare it with and say, oh, so it's similar to that, not similar to that. So would my listeners put together a spreadsheet and compare Google App Engine with Amazon Web Services, with your offering, and Windows, HP Cloud Services? I guess it all fits in that stack somewhere. Is it all comparable, or where do you fit?
Sure. So great question, John. So the portfolio within HP Helion is pretty broad and really kind of covers all of those deployment models we talked about. There are things like HP Public Cloud. That is akin to something like what you might find in Amazon Web Services or something like Microsoft Azure. And then you have things like HP Helion Managed Virtual Private Cloud. So these are other components that would compete or really be sort of head-to-head with different aspects, virtual private cloud under Amazon or Azure as well. But then private cloud implementations, this is something different, right? This is not the realm of either Azure or Amazon or even Google for that matter. And we'll get back to App Engine in just a minute. But private cloud implementations come in multiple forms as well. So HP's portfolio includes both HP Cloud System, right, which is actually the bundled hardware and software components to help a client deploy their own cloud. Let a client or a government agency, if you will, be their own cloud provider. They can do that with Cloud System or something like the Helion Managed Private Cloud Services for public sector, where it is the same concept of the full stack of hardware and software to allow you to be a private cloud, but HP can manage all of that for you, whether that's on-premise within a government data center or off-premise. So that's a very different kind of offering from the public clouds or virtual private cloud offerings that we also have in the portfolio.
I want to bounce from the cloud to hardware and talk about CPUs. When you listen or read the reports that come out of HP with Meg up there talking about something called a moonshot server and new CPUs and using one-tenth the space they used to before, it's like, well, I guess the R&D from HP is competing with Intel or competing with someone in this area. So where was this moonshot thing fit in? What is it anyway?
So moonshot is very exciting. And you're right. It is something actually completely different. A lot of times when we're talking about cloud, the historical approach and still very, very useful approach is to take a bunch of big servers, right, and chop them up into virtual servers that are out there. Moonshot does this in the complete opposite way. It essentially creates small physical servers. So these tiny little moonshot cartridges, 40 plus of which fit inside of one little rack setting, basically are purpose-built mini servers that are really going virtualization the other route, essentially saying, take this entire workload, put it on these tiny physical servers rather than taking a big server and chopping it up into little virtual pieces.
Geez, you know, when I wrote for the Washington Post, I used to write about 286s and 386s and 486s and Pentiums and dedicated memory. And circling back, I haven't talked about CPUs much in a while. This is breaking news, a new CPU. It hasn't gotten much publicity, but apparently it's saving HP themselves a lot of money if it reduces energy cost and space. I mean, who doesn't want to accomplish both those tasks? I mean, that's pretty important, isn't it?
It's absolutely important. Something like Moonshot was a huge deal for us. We end up running all of HP.com runs on I believe at this point it's two racks of Moonshot servers, as opposed to the columns and columns of servers that it used to run on. So the amount of space, and that actually ends up being the huge savings with it. It's not even so much the processing, it's quite literally the footprint, the power, all of that savings that goes into deploying much smaller footprint.
Many listeners to Federal News Radio have heard the word FedRAMP many times, and they're probably blocking their ears when they hear it. But we have to talk about the checklist item of FedRAMP, and it complies with FedRAMP requirements, doesn't it?
Yeah, correct. In fact, the HP Helion Virtual Managed Private Cloud is one of the current offerings underneath FedRAMP, current FedRAMP Joint Authorization Board authorization. So that is currently certified, if you will, via FedRAMP. And then the HP Helion Managed Private Cloud, we expect that will go through the process here in the coming months. It's designed to the exact same specifications to meet FedRAMP. But as I said earlier, because it's a private cloud deployment, it also actually meets a lot of the FISMA even FISMA high criteria, but we expect it to go through the FedRAMP process in the coming months as well.
Now I'm starting to connect the dots. When I was at that Salesforce event 2 weeks ago, their announcement from David Ray was just they're authorized. And well, looky here, I mean, there's some kind of coordination here. It's like, oh yeah, because they're using your stuff, that means it kind of, it brings the imprimatur, the nihil obstat along with it, doesn't it? It's I didn't connect those dots. That's another second connecting of the dots for the show. let's take a break. When we come back, we'll move from Lego pieces to, I think we talk about more about the new style of IT and what Meg is trying to accomplish here. She's just not, you know, come up with something quick, and she's come up with a big change in the way the organization responds to customer needs. And I think if any organization, the federal government, needs some new response to adapting to a flexible environment, adapting to an environment that's changing conditions all the time, changing security requirements. People up in Capitol Hill are changing. My CIOs who are listening, all of a sudden they have something dumped on their desk that they didn't plan. How do you adapt and change to a world like that? And maybe a flexible public cloud will enable them to accomplish some of those changes. You're listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. In the studio, Scott Gatos, Chief Technologist, Federal Healthcare, U.S. Public Sector, HP Enterprise Services. Welcome back to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. In the studio today, we have Scott Gatos, Chief Technologist, Federal Healthcare, U.S. Public Sector, HP Enterprise Services. We've talked about everything but healthcare, haven't we? I mean, it's on the list, but we're going to try to work it in somehow. There's this barrage of information that's a fire hose of information coming in, talking about HP and the cloud and new offerings and this Meg woman, and she talks about all kinds of different odds and ends. And a catchphrase, or the phrase that pays on radio, is the new style of IT. And so what do you guys mean by that? What's the new style of IT that you're trying to introduce to the world?
John, the new style of IT is actually very exciting. We see it really as being the new technologies, the new solutions, the new services that really enable both governments and business through some new engagement models like cloud, mobility, analytics and big data, and security are the big portions of this new style of IT. So if you think about it, historically, we've been really concerned about things that we would call system of record, right? System of record, a large ERP implementation for a client, some custom software development rolling out into a legacy environment. And these are still very important, but this new style of IT is focused on what are really systems of engagement, right? How can I, me, right, the consumer, the end user, the user of all this, better engage with all of this IT that's proliferating? So for instance, right, we talked a lot about cloud, but cloud is really, right, a new system of engagement. It's really for me to say, how do I get more ubiquitous and sort of nearly limitless access to infrastructure, platforms, and the software that I need? Things like analytics and big data. This is all about harnessing that huge amounts of data, both in legacy and new environments, to help me understand better what's happening and maybe even think about predicting the future a little bit better. And then mobility, of course. You know, this tenet of the new style of IT is all really about the onslaught of new devices, new work patterns that don't have users or consumers tied to their desk. And then finally, security. And this is always a huge issue, but it's still here square in the new style of IT. And this is really about the assurance that these new systems of engagement can safely and efficiently handle the workloads and the data that they require. So in a nutshell, it's really those four parallel paths that are these new systems of engagement that create this new style of IT.
Well, I'll admit it. I'm a geezer, and I get people here, oh, you're a software company, check. Oh, you're a hardware company, check. Oh, you manage mobile devices, check. Well, this goes from, you know, from the server room to the user experience at the other end. It isn't, I don't want to agree with you, but it is a different way of looking at it. I mean, Microsoft dabbles with some baby little hardware, but really you don't think of enterprise hardware with Microsoft. And you take a company like Intel, I normally think of hardware in the data center, but I never thought of confusing. Now we're all confused here, huh? Thanks a lot, Scott.
sorry about that, John.
It is a new style. In her address from about a month ago, she talked about, what you really want to focus on is the data. And I said, well, that resonates with me. When I do shows on mobile device management, I call it MDM, and I'm always corrected, no, it's mobile data management. And this seems to be a transition away from the D words into being data-centric. And maybe if the focus is on the data, maybe you can create a package of software and hardware that may allow you to accomplish the task in a flexible manner, because you know it's going to change.
Yeah, absolutely. Data is certainly king, right? It's the lifeblood of better decision making. It's the lifeblood of simply better execution for businesses and governments alike. So it's a critical component of this new style of IT and this overall engagement model for how to better service the needs of both business users and in the case of governments, their employees or their citizen consumers of government services.
I've done shows on cloud migration in the past, and many times I get up my magic list of six things, and one of the aspects is which applications can you move to the cloud? Which ones do you keep at home? Which ones do you kind of blow up? And that's really kind of specific advice. But let's jump this maybe to the next level, to something more more generic or more strategic. So what advice would you give to an agency that's listening now? They're getting their arm twist to move to the cloud. So what should they do? Where do they start?
Yeah, that's a great question, John. And it's funny you said getting their arm twisted. So the cloud first mandate has been out now for a number of years. Really, I think since 2011, when Vivek Kundra was CIO and put it out there, saying, we really need to, when considering new government IT investments, think cloud first and how to do that. But to your point, well, what do I do? What, should everybody go and move their email to the cloud? Should everybody, that may be right for one agency, that might not be the right first path for another agency. What it really depends on is where that agency's IT services roadmap has them, right? What are the workloads that they even want to consider moving to the cloud? And so as you evaluate your workload and what you're thinking about doing, then that gets back to the deployment models we talked about before. Are we looking for infrastructure? Is that what we really want to move to the cloud? Do we want platforms in the cloud, or do we want software out there? And I think this is where security, posture, and frankly, cost really comes into play as well, because there you really need to think about deployment models also. And the next bit of advice is really thinking about what characteristics of cloud and cloud-like implementations are most important to you. Because, for instance, we're all pretty familiar with cloud characteristics, right? The on-demand, the self-service model, ubiquitous access to all of the computing, pooling of lots of resources, the rapid elasticity, and the measured services, right? Pay as you go. Which of those are most important to you? Because services do them very differently. So we've had clients, who have gone down the road where moving email as a service is the right thing to do. We've had other clients that said, what's really best for us is an infrastructure as a service, managed private cloud implementation at our data center. Within the cloud first policy, that's all cloud. It's just very, very different. One is internal infrastructure as a service. Another is external third party hosting of email software as a service. So there's no one on-ramp that everybody should do. What you do really need to do is really evaluate that workload, evaluate the security and cost considerations that you've got, what characteristics are important to you, and make the move that makes the most sense to take advantage of cloud.
For 15 years, I lived next door to a high-level govy, and we talk about everything, the kids and cutting the grass and sports and everything else. And I probably went into my commercial mode. And in Northern Virginia, I know a lot of startup companies that, you're at an event and they go, yeah, didn't buy a server, don't ever plan to buy another server. Yeah, I'm all cloud, I'm all virtual. Hey, I'm here. I come and go, and it's everything loose and flexible. And if you're working for an agency and you hear that, you might say to yourself, well, I'm kind of a nerd. I'm kind of behind times. I got to be like all cloud. Well, guess what? That just because some guy in Vienna is bragging about having no servers doesn't mean the answer is for you.
Right. It's interesting too. And you talk about that. There is a huge investment still in traditional IT, maybe not with a startup who's, just opening their doors today, but certainly with government agencies. So, we talked a lot about public cloud, private cloud, virtual private cloud. We didn't talk a lot about hybrid, but hybrid is actually really where most of the game really is, especially within government agencies, because there is huge investment in traditional IT and now bringing in public cloud, private cloud, virtual private and community clouds. All of this needs to coexist together. That's a different animal than a startup who can go out there and say, this is our business plan. This is exactly how we're going to go. The reality for, you know, large business and government IT is hybrid cloud and being able to hybrid manage all of that that ecosystem.
And I think that's the challenge that many of my listeners have is just trying to understand the amount of information that's coming up. We had Mike Olson from Cloudera sitting there a week or two ago, and he said, well, you know, John, I'm involved in a startup, and I spend half my day just trying to figure out all the new products that are out there and just trying to get a handle on the competition. Who cares about the competition? There's new people come up with creative stuff, and someone comes up with this, and two and two is five, and it's really hard to even understand. I think that's one of the purposes of the show is to say, oh, so you can go to HP and learn a little about this. You can go to hp.com/govcloud and maybe just pick through and, oh, so this is what they mean as a hybrid cloud. And maybe that's the answer. I think you have to be open-minded.
Yeah, exactly, John. And that's one of the reasons, too, that we really came forward with this Helion portfolio to make it easier to understand this broad swath of cloud, because it means a lot of different things to a lot of different people. And with HP's products and services covering so much, we want to make it easier for people to understand.
And you understand that we have to take a break here. You're listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today's guest is Scott Gatos, Chief Technologist, Federal Healthcare, HP Enterprise Services, U.S. Public Sector. Welcome back to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. In the studio this morning, we have Scott Gatos, Chief Technologist, Federal Healthcare, U.S. Public Sector, HP Enterprise Services. We have certainly touched on everything in the world in the first three segments of this interview, everything from, block storage to public cloud, private cloud, all kinds of different cloud issues. Many of my listeners get the information about cloud issues and the information about HP through social media. My Twitter handle is @RayGilray. Do you folks have any social media? Do you have a Twitter handle?
We do, John. The best two to actually follow are @HP Enterprise Now and @HP Cloud. So those are the official Twitter handles where we really post out the contents that are critical that we want our clients and consumers in general to know what's going on within HP Enterprise Services and the entire HP Cloud portfolio.
The readers of my blog's Tech Tuesday blog, they're very interested in cloud topics that I cover. Is there a blog that you read or maybe a blog post that you can recommend that our listeners should link onto or start reading every day?
So I tend to use the HP Enterprise Services blog. So that and we'll give you the URL to that. You can post that out on the site. I did a post on there a little while ago talking about focusing the cloud on your client. This goes back to what we were talking about in the last segment, where there's not necessarily one on-ramp to cloud, but also there's not just one cloud for you as a client as well. It really depends on what your workload is, what your security requirements are. So that post talks a little bit about, in this case, it talks about some of the needs of healthcare providers that need to worry about information protected under the Health Insurance Portability and Accountability Act. So you want a cloud provider that can assure you that's going to be the case for that particular cloud service. So focusing the cloud on the requirements of the client is far more important than just saying this is the cloud solution for everyone.
It's June here. We're talking about baseball and the breaks. And come September, there's going to be Healthcare IT Week. It's going to be a big deal in this town. And we haven't mentioned your involvement in healthcare IT for the last 15 years. I mean, you want to touch on a little bit of what you folks do?
Sure. We've been supporting federal health agencies for quite a long time. We've been supporting agencies like the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid for over 40, maybe 45 years now. Going back many, many, many years and helping them with all of the truly billions of claims that they need to process. We also support agencies like the Department of Veterans Affairs, the Defense Health Agency, the Food and Drug Administration, and the Centers for Disease Control with a variety of technologies, variety of technology services, and quite a number of technology solutions that help those agencies actually execute their federal health missions.
You know, Scott, listeners have been hearing all these fancy pants acronyms out of you and cloud and hybrid and all these tech words. And they're wondering, is this guy really a nerd or is he a nerd wannabe? And is he like really a goofy guy with like white socks or is he normal? Well, I've conducted many of these tests. This is a scientific 10-question test. And at the end of this test, we'll know for sure if you are a nerd or not.
All right.
And here's the first question. So we break into your house this evening, and how many old school desktops do you see plugged in?
So you won't see any old school desktops, but you'll see a number of laptops floating all around the house.
We all know about laptops, right. But that's the right answer, by the way. So how many cell phones have you purchased for yourself in the last year?
Just one in the last year. There are probably four, five, or maybe even six floating around the house.
That means you're not compulsive. That's not compulsive behavior. Do you have a personal Twitter feed?
I do. I'm not as active on that feed.
We don't give you even partial credit for that. Not partial. And do you have a personal blog?
I do. And, you know, it's interesting, but that is internal. So I'm very geeky internal with all of my technical compadres at HP. We talk a lot on that blog. We use it as a way to reach out to everybody about the strategy that we're doing within federal healthcare and have really, really a tremendous dialogue throughout that.
What kind of smartphone do I see in front of you there?
That is an Android phone.
Android. Well, that's interesting. What's the most popular app on that phone you've used in the last 30 days?
So a little bit odd, but it's actually, of all things, a food journal. Just tracking my daily intake of, what I'm eating, why I'm eating it, and then how I feel at the end of the day, having eaten whatever that was.
Yeah. Don't go near a Taco Bell's, I have to tell you. So we break into your house this afternoon where you're down at DHS, wherever you happen to be. How many tablet devices do we see there? How many tablet devices do you have at home?
You will find four of them floating around the house.
Wow, you get some points there. And which social networking sites you active in?
Facebook, that's where I spend, personal social time. LinkedIn has been fantastic as well for business relationships. So those two probably are primary.
When was your last status update in LinkedIn?
Last status update in LinkedIn was not too long ago. I think I updated maybe a week or two ago.
Just testing. And finally, the last book you read, was it electronic or paper?
Oh, definitely electronic.
Well, you're starting to be strong at the end here. I'll run this through my UNIVAC computer in my basement and print it out on my green bar and put it in the U.S. mail, because you got to be efficient here, you know, if you're a geezer like me. And that's my perception of efficiency, is printing it on the green bar and figuring out what level of nerd you are. Yeah, it's not really there, but it's you're kind of a nerd wannabe, I think. You'd really, like every 6 weeks, get a new cell phone, buddy, because you see something impulsive and buy it. That's what I really see. This studio here does a lot of sports, Wizards. You can see the hockey stuff on the wall. They had a crystal ball here, but I think someone threw it and broke it. So I'm going to give you a figurative crystal ball, and we're going to record your comments and come back in 5 years and see if they're accurate.
Great.
Where do you think the whole federal government's going as far as moving to the cloud and cloud security? And is this just a figment of someone's imagination? Or people look back at Vivek and say, hey, Vivek, you were wrong about that one, buddy.
Yeah, you know, so it's I love looking at the crystal ball and then seeing how right, we might be looking out or looking back at the old crystal ball. So we talked a little bit about it, John. We talked about things like the new style of IT and hybrid IT. And it's that latter component, hybrid IT, is what I think the future really holds for the federal government. So, as we said earlier, you know, the federal government has significant investments in traditional IT, but that is now going to be co-joined with on-premise and off-premise cloud and cloud-like services. And so this is a new world, right? It's a new world of not just what's going on in my server room, or not just the one particular cloud service that I happen to have purchased, but in all likelihood, it will be 3, 4, 5, 10 cloud services from lots of different providers that all need to be managed together. This world of hybrid IT is where I think it's all really going. And so the ability for, say, a federal government agency and their IT organization to be able to offer, broker, deliver, and manage all of these hybrid services for both their mission workforce and their citizen constituents is really key. And so at HP, we continue to develop and deploy the technologies, the technology services, and the technology solutions that really enable this new style of IT.
When I started my career, people said, well, you never get fired if you buy IBM. And those three letters, that's it, IBM. Well, today is it you never get fired if you fill in the blanks. It's like, okay, it's there's no easy choices now. I mean, that was pretty easy back then. Oh, yeah, IBM had the best. I'm going to end it easy, and we use all the software. And there's just such a wide variety of services and flexibility and offerings. And we talk about this moonshot server. Even when it comes down to the server, there may be one server that would handle CPU usage differently than a server would handle dynamic allocation of resources. It is a hybrid approach just to understanding this.
It is absolutely a hybrid world. Things like Moonshot are fantastic products that are, you know, these purpose-built microservers, right? For this is the one that's right for a web server. This is the one that's right for a virtual desktop. Completely different configuration on the same kind of cartridge. The world is changing very rapidly, and it requires these new style of IT, which is, you know, made up of components, services, and solutions throughout.
I have to admit, when I think of HP, I think of walking through a server room. It's real noisy. No one can hear anyone. And I see racks of HP. That's what I think of them. And so still a big market for you, isn't it?
It is. It is. And, you know, we talk about behind all of these services, there is still physical IT that needs to be out there. And the physical IT itself is changing, just like we talked about with Moonshot, different things we have going on in HP Labs that are looking out another 5 years to say, this is gonna change again. Things like we didn't even get a chance to really touch on today, like photonics and the idea of a memristor and how all of that changes onboard memory. The computer itself is changing. So you have the underlying IT itself, you have all of the services that are positioned on top of that, and then you have the solutions these things need to be composited into that are very different and very vast, to your point.
Very vast. That's a number of topics we covered today. Well, I'd like to thank my guest here. You've been listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. I'd like to thank my guest, Scott Gatos, Chief Technologist, Federal Healthcare, U.S. Public Sector, HP Enterprise Services. Thanks, Scott.
Thank you, John.
You've been listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy of Lectromech, providing solutions to design, certify, and maintain aircraft wire systems. If you missed any part of this program, you can hear the entire show on our website, federalnewsradio.com. Federal Tech Talk, Tuesday mornings at 9, only on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM.